Amen. All right. Anyone else? All right. Let's pray together and just ask the Lord to be with us as we study. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for health and strength to be able to be in your house and to worship you. We pray for these that are sick this morning, asking you, Lord, to touch their bodies and minister and encourage them and be with our lost loved ones that need to know you and help us to be on duty to do our part and seeing that they hear the word. We thank you for all these that are gathered here this morning. And we thank you for those who are listening by whatever device that they listen on. And we ask that you'd help us as we study this lesson to hear what you have to say to us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Turn with me, if you would, in your scriptures to 1 Kings 22. And we'll start with about 15, verse 15. And we'll study here just a little bit concerning these kings. And there's so much here today, but it has to do with speaking the truth. If there's ever a day that we need to speak the truth and to have the truth spoken to us, it's today. It seems like that the world has forgotten that there's such a thing as a lie. We hear them talk about mistruth or misspeaking and whatever, but you know, the truth is the truth, and it's always going to stay that way. But we're going to study here a little bit about these kings. And of course, the two books of Kings, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, sometimes misunderstood because they're so close together. They kind of tell the same story, and so sometimes we kind of get them mixed up. But nevertheless, the story picks up here with 1 Kings 22, and it has to do with Ahab, who was a king of the northern Israel, and also it has to do with Jehoshaphat, who was king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And so before we get into a real battle here, these two kings kind of wanted to talk it over with their advisors, so to speak, and of course Jehoshaphat with a godly advisor. Ahab didn't really care. Ahab was a mischievous fella, mischievous king. And so Ahab followed this practice by seeking direction from about 400 prophets. Of course, we know they were false prophets. All they were going to do is to tell Ahab what he wanted to hear. We have a lot of that going on today, don't we? You know, telling people what they want to hear. But nevertheless, their country was divided, and yet they wanted to try to kind of unite the situation here. But God granted victory to his people. A favorable report was to be delivered by telling the truth. By telling the truth. King Jehoshaphat was unimpressed with the verdict of these false prophets. It didn't impress him too much with what the false prophets were saying. They were saying, "Oh yeah, Ahab, you go ahead and do whatever you want to do. God's with you, and you'll be successful." Well, that's not always true. You know, these false prophets had not heard from the Lord at all. They just heard from their own conscience, so to speak. Ahab admitted to Micaiah that there was a prophet who would tell the truth, but he said, and we're going to read this in verse 15 here, he never tells me the truth. He never tells me what I want to hear, really, is what he's saying. Verse 15, 22:15, 1 Kings. So he came to the king
And the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear or wait? And he answered him, Go forth and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Ahab despised Micaiah. He didn't like him because Micaiah always told him the truth, not what he wanted to hear. You know, it's easy for us to ask advice from somebody we think will give us what we want to hear. It's easy to do that. It's hard to ask advice of someone we know is likely to tell us what we don't want to hear. You know, well, I don't like that. I want to hear what I want to hear. And so Micaiah, because of the negative reports that he'd given Ahab before, was not liked by Abraham, by Ahab. And so Ramoth-Gilead that he talks about here was one of the cities of refuge. And, of course, we know that there were these cities of refuge that God had set up and that he had used often. It's not in our printed text, but if you want to look at it, it's in 1 Kings 22, verse 31. And it says this in verse 31. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains to rule over, who rule over his chariots, saying, Fight neither with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. He said, This is who I want you to fight with. And he's talking about here in these plains of Ramoth-Gilead, because this was a valley type situation where chariots could run very easily. And so they had the advantage. And so despite the fact that all of this was going on, Micaiah was going to tell Ahab the truth. Now, he kind of led him on. Micaiah kind of surprised the king by saying what he wanted him to hear, but he said it in a jesting manner. He said, oh, yeah, go ahead, it'll be all right. And, of course, I think Ahab was wise to that. Based on Ahab's prior thoughts about Micaiah, he said, I want you to tell me the truth. How many times have I told you to be sure to tell me the truth? Well, he didn't have to tell Micaiah to tell him the truth because Micaiah was going to do that because that's what God wanted him to do. Let's look at verse 16 and we'll see some of that. And this is a retort. It says, The king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee to tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? King Ahab listened to what Micaiah had to say, and he said, I just don't believe this is what you really are going to tell me from the Lord. You're just joking with me. And so when he said how many times, evidently Micaiah had told him things before that turned out to be true, and he didn't like it. He didn't like his response. So the king demanded Micaiah to tell him the full truth, nothing but the truth, so help him God. And that's what he was about to do. He was going to tell him the whole truth, even though he didn't like it. And let's look at verse 17. And he said, this is talking about Micaiah, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no shepherd. Let them return every man to his house in peace. Micaiah dropped his acting before King Ahab and just told him what God had shown him. God had shown this prophet that all of Israel was scattered on the hills of the country without a king, so to speak, without a leader is what he's talking about. And whenever an army doesn't have a leader, we know what happens. They're certainly in trouble. You have to have a leader whenever you're in battle. And so returning in peace, might mean that they would be better off than what they were before. Let's look at verse 18. It said, "And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil?'" Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "I told you what Micaiah would do. He would tell me what I didn't want to hear. I told you. I knew what he would do." And so Ahab responded to Micaiah's prophecy and let Jehoshaphat know that he was sure that Micaiah was not going to tell him what he wanted to hear. Jehoshaphat didn't get all excited about that. He knew that Micaiah was going to tell the truth no matter what happened. And so Jehoshaphat, being a worshiper of God, the God of Israel, took the measures to suppress all idolatry in the country that he was a king over. He put it away. In other words, he tried to root out all the idolatry that was going on under his rulership. But Ahab was the opposite. He was allowing it to happen. The northern kingdom of Israel enjoyed superiority, really, in that day. And they had held off the Assyrian the Assyrians from taking over, really, in battle. And so here, the alliance between Israel and Judah was secured by the marriage of Ahab's daughter, Athaliah, to Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram. So this is the way that they were trying to come together. Marriage often entered into these kingly alliances in that day that we're talking about here. And often, in fact, Solomon did that. Supposed to be the wisest man that ever lived, but King Solomon. Solomon tried to marry all the heathen king's daughters that he could. And by doing that, he was hoping to be that they'd be peaceable with him. And so here we see that that's what was happening in this northern and southern kingdom of Israel. These two kings' kids got together and married each other. And but that didn't stop Micaiah from telling the truth. You see, that could have influenced him because he knew that he was on shaky ground with Ahab anyway. But he didn't let that sway his telling the truth. God's truth. Let's look at it in verse 19. "And he said, 'Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left.'" This is a picture of God watching what's going on the earth. I want to tell you, I think that's still going on today. God knows what's going on the earth. I know a lot of people don't believe that God even exists, but that doesn't change the fact. Just because you don't believe something does not change the facts. You know, I don't know about you, but I've found out in my nearly 84 years on this earth that I can be wrong and have been. The way I thought things were going to happen didn't happen that way. The things that I thought were absolute were not. And so, we find out that we can be wrong. And that's what he's saying here. God sees what's going on, and he knows what's going on. Micaiah uses the word of the Lord as a formula for his truth. And we can use that same formula today. God's word never changes. It says so, and it's so. So we can stand on that. And it's simple, and yet it's profound at the same time, isn't it? If anything we know for sure is happening today in our country, they're trying to change our history, the history of our nation. It's easy to see because we have written history that is trying to be changed. They're changing the wording of it. So it's not even meant, it doesn't even mean the same as it did in the time it was written down. Let's look at verse 20, and we're going to hurry on here. I don't want to get started on that. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab? Have you ever tried to change somebody's mind about something when their mind was made up? Boy, it's a job, isn't it? It's a job. Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another on that manner. In other words, they had different opinions about how to do the job of persuading Ahab when his mind was already made up, so to speak. By the way, Ahab was married to Jezebel. You might say, well, what's that got to do with it? I'm going to tell you what, it had a whole lot to do with it. Had a lot to do with it. She is an evil woman. And she ended up in a bad situation, didn't she? Yeah. But nevertheless, she was an evil woman. And God had it up to here with her, so to speak. I want to tell you what, there's a lot of incidences in the Scripture where God gave individuals a lot of leave room, but they didn't take advantage of it. He's given people a lot of latitude today, and they're not taking advantage of it either. God's being good to us today, and sometimes we don't take very good advantage of it. God was filled up to here with the sin of the people. It says in verse 21, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord. Now, I in thinking about this, I don't know whether this was some sort of a visible spirit or whether they just saw something that looked like a spirit. And said, I will persuade him. This spirit said that. Now, I don't know about you, but if that was me and there was something that represented a spirit standing before me, I'd take pretty good attention to that. For a little while, anyway. Maybe my feet wouldn't stand too long. I don't know. My feet might want to get away from that situation. But nevertheless, 22 says, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also, go forth and do so. God gives permission for this to happen because the heart, I believe, because the heart of Ahab was hardened. You know, you can kind of see that in the case of Pharaoh. Whenever Pharaoh's heart became hardened, God allowed things to happen that normally would not have happened in his kingdom. And that's what's happening here, I believe, to Ahab. Ahab's heart is hardened. His wife has him wrapped around her little finger, so to speak. He's doing what she's telling him to do. And God is about to lower the boom. God is about to pull out the stops, so to speak. The Lord is giving approval to this plan of a lying spirit telling him things that are not true. And we know what happened here. Ahab's heart was filled with jealousy because Naboth would not let him have his vineyard. He's the king, folks. He can have any vineyard he wants. But he wants this one vineyard. Isn't that just like the enemy? The enemy will cause you to want things that you shouldn't have. I mean, it's simple, but yet it isn't. He said it this way, because his vineyard's close to mine. In other words, I'm too lazy to go the next vineyard over and till that vineyard. I want Naboth's vineyard. And his wife told him how to get the job done. I wonder where that idea came from. Do you think it came from Jezebel? I doubt it. I think it came from Satan himself. He might have put it in Jezebel's heart, but I think I know where it came from. All of this kind of stuff comes from the enemy. And so, Ahab chose to listen to what the enemy was saying rather than listen to the good words of Micaiah. Verse 23 says, "Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit." I think it should be allowed a lying spirit. "To be in the mouth of those prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee." Micaiah, here, who was the true prophet, had really given forth the truth. But the message hadn't registered. And that message was a message of repentance. The message of repentance is not being heeded very well today. The message of repentance is going out in our country and around the world. But people are not listening. People's hearts are hardened. People's hearts are not repentant, and they don't want to hear a message of repentance. And so that's what I think is happening here. The Lord used Ahab's character and the deference of the king's prophets to deceive this man. In other words, what the prophets were saying swayed his mind to do things that he shouldn't be doing. Ahab knew better. You know, it's one thing to make a mistake. It's another thing to make a mistake when you know you're doing wrong in doing it, purposely doing something that's wrong. And his purposes were wrong. He knew it wasn't right to take Naboth's vineyard. He knew that. But he was persuaded. It's easy to be persuaded when it's something you really want to do. Let's face it. If you really want to do it, you'll be more likely to be persuaded to do it that way. And so he thought, man, she's got a pretty good idea here. I think that's okay. In fact, she told him, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it myself." Wow, that made it real easy, didn't it? You didn't have to do anything. All he had to do is wait till the job was done. All right. Well, so much. Verse 26, "And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah, carry him back to Amnon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son." Now, he's about ready to do something that he shouldn't do to God's man. God's man has told him the truth. He's about ready to try to crush the truth. How many of you know the truth can't be crushed? It kind of has a way of squirming out from underneath of the heel. You know, it has a way of coming forth, doesn't it? And so, this is what he said to say. "Thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison." This fellow that's told me the truth. "Put him in prison. Shut him up. So his mouth won't be heard anymore. And feed him with bread and water of affliction." Don't give him too much to eat. Make him miserable. Put him away and make him miserable. "Until I come in peace." Uh-oh. Maybe he shouldn't have said that, "till I come in peace." Because Micaiah was to remain in his cell and be given these very skimpy portions until Ahab came back in peace. And we know from reading the context here of what was going to happen. Ahab sentenced himself really to death by his own words. Verse 28, this is what the prophet said. Micaiah said, "If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me." If what you're saying is true, the Lord didn't speak to me about it. And he said, "Listen," or "hearken, O people, every one of you. You listen to what I have to say. Micaiah spoke the truth by the word of the Lord. And if he had spoke the truth by the word of the Lord, he knew that Ahab was not going to come back in peace, but rather he's going to die. He said, if you come back in peace, then the Lord hadn't said a word by me. Well, I'm going to tell you, Micaiah knew what God had told him, and he had told the truth to Ahab. Micaiah was so confident in what he had heard from the Lord that he challenged Ahab openly before all the people. If you know what God has told you, it's not a problem for you to tell somebody else. And by the way, the Lord has told us to go into all the world, to share the gospel with every person, all nations, and we need to be doing it. We need to be about the Father's business today. So, God has given us a mandate, and it's up to us to follow it. And I really believe here that King Ahab could easily have said, I repent of my actions and my words, and God would have forgiven him. But he did not. And so he died in that condition, the condition that he was in, a condition of rebellion against the Lord. That's a dangerous way to die. It's a dangerous position to be in when you die. The prophet Micaiah was bound by the simple truth of, I'm only going to tell you what God has told me. We today, as God's people, should be bound by the same oath. I'm only going to tell you what God has told me. And if we stay with this word, we know it's the truth. And so we can always tell the truth about the situation. When we see Micaiah's ability to think and to speak for God, it should challenge us today. It should challenge me today. Rather than be like the 400 prophets of Baal and just say whatever the king wants to hear, but rather to tell the truth, what God wants us to say to those around us. We must have our minds made up whenever the challenge comes. Not when it comes, but before it comes. If we're going to stand today, we better have our minds made up now that we're going to stand in the day of adversity. If we don't have our minds made up today, the chances of us standing tomorrow are not very good. We better have our minds made up today. So today, God is asking us to stand up like Micaiah did, tell the truth, and let the chips fall where they will. And certainly, we live in that day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the lessons that we've learned today. We ask you humbly, Lord, to remind us of the words that Micaiah has said. Help us to say nothing but what we have heard from you, from your word, and to say it with all diligence and with all bravery. We ask your blessings on the remaining parts of the services that will be going on here today and around the world where your name is lifted up and praised. We ask that you would be with every pastor and teacher that stands before you today and proclaims the word. Give them strength and encouragement today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor?